You have your Bible lesson to Exodus chapter 33, verse 14 to 23. It's a little bit long, okay, but I think you have to understand this portion of scripture to understand the message. Okay, I'm going to title my message with God being with us. God being with us. Exodus 33, 14 to 23. Exodus 33, 14 to 23. And he said, and God said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, Moses said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not hence. For wherein shall it be known that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. That means they are different. We are different, we are distinct. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do these things also that I have spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, and Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, God said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. And God said, thou cannot see my face, for thou shalt no man see my face and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. Thou shalt stand upon a rock, and shall come to pass when my glory pass by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shalt thou not see. Father, I depend upon you. Holy Spirit, do your work upon them. In Jesus' name I pray. Okay, a sermon titled God Being With Us focuses on the concept of God's presence in the lives of believers, emphasizing that God is always present, offering comfort, strength, and guidance, especially during challenging times. It often explores the meaning of the name Emmanuel, which signifies God with us, and how this promise is fulfilled through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You know, there's another translation. I like the new translation, okay? It says in Exodus 33, 14, I will personally go with you, Moses, and everything will be fine. I will personally go with you, and everything will be fine. If God personally goes with us in everything we do, everything will be fine. Moses understood this truth. I find this to be especially true in my life, my own personal life. I notice that when I am especially close to God, or I am in the right relationship with God, I felt God being with me, everything I do will be fine. Everything I encounter will be fine. Yeah, will be fine. Here Moses responded, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us from hence, from here. Moses insists that without God's presence, there is no point in moving forward. I say this to you again. Without God going with us, there's no point moving forward in life. No point. Without God, there's no point moving forward in life. This shows how much Moses depended upon God daily. Not just for miracles, not just for guidance, but for the relationship with God itself. The people's identity, our identity, our survival hinges upon entirely on God being with us. You must understand this truth. What can we learn from this portion of scripture? I want to do 3 points, okay? God with us, God for us, God in us. God with us, God for us, God in us. First, God with us, His presence. Without God being with us, there's no point advancing in life. We depend on God not just for wonders and direction, but for connection, for relationship with God. Our identity, our survival, depends on God being with us. Exodus 33, 14 says, and he said, my presence will go with you and will give you rest. The word presence means face. My face will go with you. You know, when I see the face of Pastor Lily, I know that she is present with me. I know that she is in the house. I know that she is with me. Within the church, it means God's personal presence will go with us. Within the church, it is called the manifest presence. The manifest presence. What is the manifest presence? It means that we felt God's tangible. You know, the church, we the church, every day you come to church, every Sunday you come to church, you need to feel the tangible presence of God. You need to experience, you need to feel the experiential presence of God. And when God reveals himself in a very noticeable way, can be felt, can be seen, can be clearly perceived. And with God on our side, we are guaranteed success. We are guaranteed success. God is not a failure. Please understand this. I know that in your life you see a lot of failures, but God is not a failure. When we know that He is with us, we can be fearless. No matter how dark the situation is. You know, this morning, I wake up at 6 a.m. Yesterday, I prayed, God, let there be no rain. Then this morning, I wake up, the rain was coming down. I said, Jesus, God, I hide behind Jesus. I hide behind Jesus and I pray that there is no rain, that we can have a proper service. We can have proper service. God is not a failure. We can be utterly fearless. No matter how dark the situation or how difficult the problem is, we can be sure of this. God has the ability, God has the power, God has the answer to pull us through and pull us over. This is significant because you must understand this truth. Why did it come to this point when Moses, when God said, I will go with you? Because the people were sinning. See, earlier in the verse, God says that He will not go with them. You see, there's one thing that will cause God not to go with you. Sin. Sometimes people miss it and sin against God. And we say, why is our life so problematic? Sometimes we miss it and we sin. But even when we sin, that's what I'm trying to share with you today. John say, if you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. God wants to help us and restore us even when we miss it. Even when we sin against God. He wants to lift us up even when we stumble or we fail by coming to Him. This is what Moses did. See, I was telling you that they sinned against God. And Moses plead and God relents. Moses pleads and God relents. Promising His nearness and the gift of rest. Exodus 33 verse 14 says, My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. There are two truths in this portion of scripture. One, when we plead, God relents. I don't know. When you plead, God relents. You must understand that the sin of Israel was not minor. It was a major sin. It was a major sin. Some of us, we have major sin in our life right now. Moses was in the mountaintop and Israel was below sinning. They were worshipping idols, plunging themselves into reverie and involving in sexual promiscuity and even in sexual immorality. These are the great sins of our life. Yet when Moses plead for mercy, God relents. God relents. You know, for Christian, what is the difference between mercy and grace? Pastor Lily just now prophesied about grace. That one of you, your mindset was wrong concerning the grace of God. Okay? She was telling you, in the prophecy, she said, there's such a thing as the grace of God in our life. But what is the difference between mercy and grace? Grace and mercy are closely related, but grace and mercy are not the same in the Bible. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. For instance, God withhold punishment which we have earned. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. God blessing you when you haven't even earned it. The root idea of mercy is compassion shown to someone who is guilty. And that's what happened to the Israelites. And that's what will happen to you. Compassion shown to someone who is guilty today or suffering. It is God withholding judgment that we rightfully deserve. It reflects His pity, His love in the face of our weakness. Then what is grace? What is grace? The root idea of grace is favor and kindness that is unearned. It's God giving you salvation, God giving you protection, God giving you power, God giving you blessing when we never earn for it. It reflects the generosity and the kindness of God. Just imagine a criminal judge was there and the criminal was standing before the judge. Mercy is the judge that pardoned the sentence. Grace is when the judge adopts that criminal as his own child and give him an inheritance. This is what God did to all of us. You must understand the children of Israel, they were on top sinning. They were below sinning. And God calmed down. God was angry. He will do some punishment, but He will still say, "You will be my inheritance." Grace. Grace. Giving you inheritance as God's children. Yes, I want to tell you, some of you today, when you plead, God relents. When you plead, God relents. He not only relents, He promises His nearness. The second truth is that He promises His gift of rest. You know, rest is the lost art. You know, I was in Antique. Then I did manage to meet Precious. You know, Antique is, Babaza is very, very quiet. And Precious will say, "Pastor, a teacher is so much work. I really cannot catch. I cannot understand. I really cannot understand." She says, "So much work in the school." No, rest is a lost art in our society. I think in the world, maybe 80% of the world's population lives in the city. In the province, it's already so pressurizing. What about the city life? Rest is a lost commodity in our society today. There's so much anxiety. There's so much pressure. There's so much toy. There's so much snare in our lives today. We desperately need rest. The rest is peace. Inner peace. Inner peace. Security. Everything is secure. Rest from anxiety. Rest from fear. Rest from striving. And fulfillment. What fulfillment? Fulfillment in the journey of life. That is rest. Fulfillment in the journey of life. Do you know what is the meaning? The rest means that everything will be fine. Everything will be fine. When God is with us, He set us apart. Exodus 33:16 say, "For how shall we know that I found favor in your sight? I am your people. Is it not that you going with us?" That's why you must have God being with us. So that we are distinct. You are different from the people outside of this world. The people that have no help from God. You have help from God because you are distinct people. You are set apart by God. "I am your people and every other people from the face of this world." We are distinct. Moses said, "I am the people of Israel are different from the people of this world. I and the people in the church are different from the people of this world." Moses emphasizing that God going with us is what set us apart. God going with us is what set us apart. Moses is saying that what makes Israel and what makes you unique, it's not your land. It's not the law. It's not even the law. It's not even the strength. It's not the strength of Israel. It's not the land of Israel. It's not the Lord of Israel. The same goes with us. Our uniqueness even isn't about the law.
isn't even about the strength of our church, isn't even about the size of our church, isn't even about the numbers of our church, but it's God Himself with us. That's the difference. God Himself with us.
It is being God's chosen people with whom He dwells. Number two. First, God with us. Number two, God for us. God for us. His protection and purpose. Exodus 33:17 says, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'This very thing that you have spoken, I will do.'" What you are praying for, I will do. What you are asking for, I will do. For you. What you need, I will answer. "This very thing that you have spoken, I will do." Why? "Because you have found favor in my sight. I have given you have in my presence you have grace. And I know you by name." When we say God is for us, it means that God is on your side. It means that He's actively working for your good. Not just this spirit, but throughout the process. He has a purpose and a plan in your life. God working out for your good. And God working out for your protection, for your salvation, for your purposes. It's an expression of God's tremendous love and favor and loyalty towards those that belongs to Him. You know, these past 2 weeks I was in Antigua twice, but this week I was also in Antigua. You know, I kind of understand. I get to meet a number of people. You know that we are out of jab for a long time. For 12, the people that I talk to, another knows that, "Pastor, I've not seen you for 13 years. But I understand this today. God is actively working for my good, for my protection, for my salvation, for my purpose. I understood this. God answers favorably, again highlighting His deep relationship with us. He says, "I know you by name." It means an intimate personal knowledge. For Moses, he's not just a servant, but a friend of God. I pray that we enter into the category where we are in an intimate relationship with God, with personal knowledge of God, and personal relationship with God. You can make very bold requests. Make very bold requests. Like this morning, I make a bold request. It's so difficult. I say, "God, I hide behind Jesus because Christ died on the cross of Calvary. I hide behind Jesus and I ask that let there be no rain." I do not know what is your bold request. Moses said, "Show me your glorious presence." You know what God said? "I will make my goodness all." God said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you. And I will call you by my name, Yahweh. And I will show mercy to anyone I choose. And I will show compassion to anyone I choose." This is a powerful, intimate relationship between Moses and God. Moses asked to see God's glory. And God's glory is not just in His power, you must understand this true, but also in His moral perfection, in His grace. You see, God's glory is His grace, His sovereign grace. You know, there's a deep desire on the part of Moses. You must understand Moses. Moses hungered to know God. He has seen the power of God. He has seen how God split the Red Sea. He has seen how God sent manna from heaven. He has seen how God sent the angel of death to kill all the firstborn of the Egyptian. He has seen all the power of God. But he still asks for more. He's not asking for more power. He's not asking for more, but for more presence. He's asking for more presence. He says, "Show me your glory, God." It's not to gain favor, but to know God intimately. To know God intimately. When Moses asked to see God's glory, God said yes. If you ask to see God's glory, God will agree. God will agree because of Jesus Christ. God's response is stunning. He doesn't overwhelm Moses with divine power or the lightning, the thunder, the thing just demonstrate. No, no, no. He said, "I will let my goodness, all my goodness, I will let all my goodness pass before you. I will proclaim my glory." God's glory is not found in His might, but His character, His mercy, His grace.
Just now Pastor Lily talked about grace, His mercy in the prophecy, His grace, His faithfulness. I believe that if you sincerely ask to see the manifest presence of God, you will agree. Instead of dazzling light, Moses will witness the goodness of God. God, if you ask God to show you His glory, He will show you His goodness. He will show you His goodness. He will show you His mercy. He will show you His grace. He will show you His name, Yahweh, the eternal self-existing God. If you apply this to our personal life, okay, our personal life. Okay, what do you mean by all this, Pastor God? Because what do you mean by all this? Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? This means no opposition, no trials, no enemy can ultimately succeed against God if God Himself is for you. It's not just that God supports us. You know what's the meaning? God doesn't just support you. God initiates. God defends. God completes His purpose in our life. I say again, He initiates. He defends. He completes His purpose in your lives. You know, I was telling you that this past 2 weeks, and just this week, I thank Pastor Ephraim for helping. Pastor Carlos need to rest and just give God the glory. He's totally healed. God is so good. You know, there was a stone in his bladder and he just passed out. He looks very fine now. I always tell Pastor Carlos, please remember, you're taking over the church. Okay, don't die before you take over the church. No, we are. I was in Libertad. There were 24 students. 24 and a nursing student from National University of Singapore. Then I was trying to do a survey of the whole of Antique. We travel from Libertad to we passed by Kolase, we passed by Babasa, we went until Patnogon. Pastor Lily said, you're not allowed to go to Da'o because they are from the other side. So I did not go because I'm trying to open up opportunity for medical mission, and they are very excited. All these people are very excited for the medical mission. So I met with a number of pastors. Okay, ex. They are no more with our ex-organization. They are independent. They are on their own. So I have the liberty to mix around with them, to fellowship with them. They were excited to see me. And it reminds me of the good old days, to tell you frankly. And the head of the YMCA gave them a treat. Okay, and we were at this place to eat. And we were all there. And we were just, there was joy. There was joy. There was joy and fun. There was laughter. Okay, please remember, they are all from the ex-church, okay? No, they are all not. They are independent. They are no more with the ex-church. But what struck me is that they are all doing fine. They are all doing fine. They are all doing fine. Then Pastor Nado made a very statement. He said, Pastor, do you know that one of the person, actually she's from Pototan. She's still with the ex-organization, she's still with the organization. She made this statement that enlightened me. See, she said this, she said, why are those churches, they are no more with us? Those that are kicked out, like Anado, from the previous organization, why are they doing much better than us? I just want to tell you something. If God is for you, who can be against you? No opposition, no trials, no enemies can ultimately succeed if God is for you Himself. Why? You say, why? Why all these churches, they are no more with the organization, they are doing much better. Then Pastor Rosemary, that is very spiritual, and she also went through, she said, oh, because we have no more fun to depend upon us. We are forced to exercise our faith and God pull us through. I say, I think she's correct. Okay, they were forced to exercise faith, and she is correct. You know, Nian, the daughter of Pastor Rosemary, she is going to be the personal secretary of the present mayor. And we went to see the mayor, and she always looked to Nian and talked to Nian, the daughter of Pastor Rosemary. It's true, you need to exercise faith, you will push through. But the real reason is Romans 8:31. If God is for you, if God is for you,
who can be against you? You know, this leader of the ex organization brought another for on one side, lecture him without allowing him to talk for 2 hours. Finally, he say, if you leave the organization, you will fail. I want to tell you, it's preposterous to say only with the organization we will succeed. Only with God, then you will succeed. Amen. You understand me? I cannot understand. He say like that. With God, then you will succeed. Not with the organization, then you will succeed. I want to speak to this congregation. I want to speak to all of you this morning. God is not against you. The devil makes it such a way that he is against you. God is not your enemy. God is not your accuser. God is not your condemner. You say you have sinned. You say your sin is major. Moses' people have sinned, and their sin will definitely major. But Moses plead, and you can plead, and God relents. So God can do likewise. God is not against you. It is depending upon your heart, how you deal with God. You plead with God, and God will relent. God will relent. In Christ, His justice is satisfied. His posture, God's posture towards you is grace. You understand me? Because of Christ's death on the cross of Calvary, God's posture towards you is grace. He acts on your behalf. He's working to make all things for good. They are called according to His personal purpose, those that love Him. Even your pain, your failure. There was so much pain in 2012. There was so much sense of failure in 2012. There's so much delay. They are a part of the larger plan for your benefits. For your benefits. He fights for you. Just like I told you, He fights for you. He defends you. He protects you. He upholds you by upholds His people. He gives you the best. Yes. He gives you the best. If God gave Jesus, He will not withhold anything that you truly need. If the universe, the Creator of the universe is for you, you are not outnumbered. Rest in His love. Everything will be fine if you continue to live in a close relationship with God. Trust His plan. Trust His plan. I don't know what God is planning for me and Pastor Lily when we step into Singapore. I don't know. I tell you frankly, I don't know. But I only know that I have to pass this church to Pastor Carlos, because if I don't pass this church to Pastor Carlos, we are not good pastors. But I rest in His love. Everything will be fine. Trust His plan. Work confidently, because the one who holds all the power has claimed you as His own. You know, I remember God spoke to me in 2012 very clearly. Very, very clearly. God say, the tribes of David will get stronger and stronger, and the tribes of Saul will get weaker and weaker. God told me that. The tribes of David will get stronger and stronger. In 2012, when we were out, the tribes of David will get stronger and stronger, the tribes of Saul will get weaker and weaker. As I fellowship with all these antique pastors, I find this word to be so true, so true. God, what God promised you will be true, will come to pass. Will come to pass. Number 3, God in us. God with us, God for us, God in us. The power within you. The power within you. Exodus 33, verse 20 to 23. But you may not look directly at my face, for no one can see my face, may see my face and live. The Lord continue, look, stand near me on this rock. Listen carefully, yeah. Stand near me on this rock. As my glorious presence passes by, I will hide you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand until I pass by. And when I pass by, I'll remove my hand and you will be able to see my back from behind, but my face you cannot see. You see properly? God's holiness and power and purity are overwhelming. Sinful humans cannot endure it. That's why you cannot see the face of God. the cleft of the rock. You know, if you go to the cleft, if you go to the mountain, there is such a thing as a, especially when there's a cave, there's a such a thing as a cleft of the rock. When you go inside the cleft of the rock, you are protected from all the thunders and lightnings and all the disaster. When you are inside the cleft of the rock, the cleft of the rock is a small cave or small opening, a narrow opening, a very narrow opening, symbolically a place of refuge and protection. Jesus is that narrow opening. Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No man goes to the God the Father except through me. There's only this narrow opening. And the narrow opening to go to God is through Jesus. Because of the rock, God covers Moses with his hand. Today, Jesus is that rock, the place of refuge and protection. Because of the rock, Jesus covers us. God covers us with his hand because of Jesus. Because of his divine intervention through Jesus. For Christian, Jesus is that rock. That's why Jesus is such a wonderful God. Jesus is such an answer to all of our life. Jesus is the one. He's that rock. Where we are hidden. Where we are protected. Where God revealed himself. Through him, we see God in a way that even Moses didn't see. Actually, in this point, God in us is not about Moses reaching out to God, but about God reaching out to Moses. The Christian life is not about us reaching out to God. The Christian life is about God reaching out to each and every one of our lives. As a result of Jesus Christ, God can be in us, through the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. I don't know whether Moses understood that truth when he experienced that, because that was 1,500 years ago, before Jesus arrived. But Jesus said in Ephesians 2:22, in whom we are all built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. You are built together for a habitation. The church is built together for an habitation of the Holy Spirit. You yourself is a temple of the Holy Ghost. You are built for the habitation of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19 saying, what? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, and you have a God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. When you accept Christ as a personal Savior and Lord, you are no longer belonging to yourself. You become the temple of the Holy Ghost. God has made his abode. God has made his home in our body. Unfortunately, we don't understand. We are so scared of the Holy Spirit. If you believe that the Holy Spirit lives in you, you will not walk about with your lack of power and your ability. There's no lack in God. Because he lives in you, we have no lack also. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 16 says, you are the temple of the living God. For God said, I will dwell with them and walk with them, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Why does God live in us? I want to ask you, why does God want to live in us? No, I will think about carefully. Why does God want to live in us? To put us over and to pull us over and to bring us over. 1 John chapter 4 talks about demons and evil spirit. Because of the demons and evil spirit, it says, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them. Overcome them. The them is the demons and the cohort of demons and evil spirit. How? I shared last week that the Holy Spirit convicts us of judgment because the prince of this world is judged, and the devil is judged. The prince of this world is Satan, and because of the death of Christ, Satan is already defeated. Through Christ, we have overcome all the demonic force. How? This great, because the Bible says, greater is he that is in you. You think about it. Greater is he, Satan, that is in this world, he that is in you, that is God, the Holy Spirit. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world, than he that is Satan, the devil, the cohorts of the devil is in this world. Greater is he that is in you. Greater is the Holy Spirit that is in you. You know, the world The devil has wrought so much havoc in the world today. I believe that people like Putin, he is demon possessed. He has given his mind, his soul to the devil. I mean, under these 3 years, 1 million Russian soldiers are killed or injured. When there was the exchange of POWs between Ukraine and Russia, the Ukraine POWs will be released back to Ukraine. But they will talk about the way they torture them, and it is very demonic in their torture. And many of them, even when after they are released, they died a few months later. This mother, she was so excited to see his son that was released. But when after a few months, this son died. They were so tortured that they succumbed to death, even upon release. This is the havoc that the devil has done. Look at the world. Look at the sins of the world. Look at the sins of the world. They are all demon inspired. Look at the sicknesses and the cancer of this world. Look at the cancer is demon inspired. So you have to rebuild it in the name of Jesus. I refuse to accept this cancer. They are not normal. Cancer is not normal. It's not a normal disease. Cancer is demon inflicted. Look at the breakup of family. Look at extramarital affair. Look at sexual promiscuity. Let us look at sexual immorality. You know, I was fetching this guy, this Singaporean. He shared with me, I don't know why he shared with me about his personal life. That's why you must always be in God. God must always be in you. You must have a good relationship with God. He said this: my father came to know God in a very powerful way. He said that. And as a result, all the whole family came to know God. He, the father, the mother, he and the brother. They are four. But then he said, after a while, many people in this church, after a while, the father stopped coming to church because of politics. First, he started hopping from one church to another, and finally, he stopped going to church. He stopped attending church. He said, my elder brother followed the footsteps of my father, and he also stopped going to church. Then he said, I look at my elder brother, I told my parents, if my elder brother can do it, I also can do it. Also, he also stopped going to church. But then he was convicted because he had a call from God when he was very young. So he finally decided to go back to church. And he talked to God, God, if you want me to go back, you tell me. And he went back to church. And he continued to serve God. He was telling me that his father that was away from church, had an extramarital affair with a Filipino lady and have a son. The son is 20 years old right now. And this father, the wife, knew that he had the affair 16 years ago. But she didn't know that he had a child as a result of the extramarital affair. And now, they have this stepbrother. His brother that stopped going to church. He jumped from one divorce to another divorce. And finally, he had four broken relationships. You see, he always complained to the mother, say, why you, when you have a need, why you always call me? Do you know that he is older than me? Why you always call me? And he is my elder brother. It's like I am the elder brother to him. Then the mother said, because you can be trusted. Because you can be trusted. I want to tell you something. You leave God. Not immediately. But you continue to leave God. Definitely, your life will go downward. I'm telling you, your life will go downward. This Singaporean friend of mine who has not left God is fine. Now he became like the head of the family. Now he become the head of the family. And everybody look to him. When he tell me this story, I see God protecting, guiding, planning a purpose for his life. And I will say the same thing to you. I will say the same thing to you. You stick on with God. You stay close to God. You will see God planning,
a purpose protecting and guiding your life. I'm sharing this story because the devil has messed up the life of many people. Messed up the life of many people. So you need God to be in us. In us. I mean, Exodus 33:14 say, I will personally go with you and everything will be fine. What else you want? I will go with you and I will go with you in your walk of life. I will go with you in your circumstances. I will go with you in your problem. I will go with you in your tribulation. I will go with you in your financial hardship and everything will come out fine. That's the meaning. Only through God in the Holy Spirit in us is greater than the devil. He's greater than demons and the evil spirit. He's greater than sin, sicknesses and disease. He's greater than any force or power that tries to come against us. We let the greater one dominate our life by allowing his word to dominate us. We don't just read the Bible. We allow the word to become part of our life. We allow the word of God to dominate our life. When we are full of the word of God in our life, then we'll know what to do in any situation. It's doing the word and acting as if it's true that brings blessing in our life. If God is in us, then His nature is in us. His love is in us. His wisdom is in us. His strength is in us. You know, I'll never forget 1979. I'll never forget. The Holy Spirit started to come to live in me when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I remember that incident even until today. Before that, I was demon-possessed. Yeah, I was demon-possessed. I just tell you that I was demon-possessed. But I was delivered. The devil, the demon really came out of me. Another voice came out of me. And the demon wanted to come back. The demon wanted to come back to my life. Can you remember Matthew 12:43-45? Jesus described a scenario. When the evil spirit leaves a person, he wanders in search of rest, but found none. Then he returns to the person previously inhabited, now empty and clean, and brings seven other more evil spirits than him. And the result, if that person succumbs to it, the condition of the person is worse than before. That's why you must never leave God. You must never leave God. I remember I woke up and it was past midnight and I sensed a demonic presence. I know that he wanted to come back and live inside me. You know what I did? I took out the Bible. I read. I have never read the Bible like that before. I have never really read the Bible since that time. I read from Genesis. I finished three books that night. I finished the book of Genesis. I finished the book of Exodus. Just read and read and read and the demonic power is around. You know what happened? The devil left me alone. The peace came back. The devil never come back to me again. Then 3 months later, I had to go to the army. If I'm forced to stand stationary, I will fall. I will fall. But the word of God came to me. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And I stand and I did not fall. I stand and did not fall in the army. I'm not afraid of darkness anymore. I'm not afraid of demon-possessed people anymore. I'm not afraid of demon-possessed. I remember my mom was she was unconscious and she was, because she got involved in all these trance and medium, and she was unconscious, she was screaming, and my sister rushed to me and said, Mom is screaming, Mom doesn't know what, she was screaming and she was saying, please don't take me away, don't take me away. I just went there, I just laid my hand upon her. Just lay my hand upon her. Then peace came and she woke up. I said, what happened? What happened? Then from there, she was brought to church. Then she prays for me every day today. And she wins souls. My mom got saved. Believes in my God. If God is in us, His nature, His love, His wisdom, His strength are in us. All that God is in us. So whenever you face what looks like an impossible situation, confess it in faith. God in me, God's ability is mine, God's strength is mine, God's health is mine, God's success is mine. In all things, I am more than conqueror. I'm more than conqueror
through him that loves me. I conclude. Today, billions of people in the world live a life where God is not with them. And everything is not fine in life. Instead of guaranteed success, there is continual failure in life. We are constantly overwhelmed by problems and afraid of what the huge future holds for us. Instead of God being with us, it seems like God is against us. God seems to be our enemy. And there's no protection in our life. Our family, our personal life easily succumbs to circumstances. You become panicky when something wrong goes wrong. You know, Pastor Ephraim was driving Pastor Carlos' car. Maybe he was going a little bit fast. And it was night, 8 p.m. No light, nothing. Then his tire got a puncture and the whole tire burst. That means the whole tire was useless already. You know where he stopped? He sat beside Babaza Church. And Precious was there. He just imagined out of the whole distance. Precious was there. He was guided to a vulcanizing machine that was able to give him a surplus tire that he can proceed to Libertad. You call these coincidences? You call these coincidences? For us, we easily succumb to circumstances leading us to tremendous disappointment. Because we do not have God in us, we are ravaged by sickness, broken by relationship, ruined by sins in life. God saw. God heard your groaning. He sent Jesus. Jesus came. The crowd want to push him over the cliff. He slipped away. God protects him. God was with him. God was with him. God was for him. He was protected constantly throughout the 3 years because many people wanted to kill him. God lives inside him. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. God lives inside him. But then, at the end of his life, it seems that God became against him. It seems that God was against Jesus. That he has to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? God allowed the enemy to overwhelm him and even crucify him on the cross. Why? For you. For me. For you. For me. If you want to understand this truth, it's because of you, because of me. To pay for your sin, to pay for my sin. That God relents. God relents. That mercy came and grace came. Mercy came, God forgive you your sin. Grace came, God makes you a child of the living God. So when Jesus was resurrected, you can have God with you, for you, in you, through the Holy Spirit. If you come to Jesus today and you believe what I share, you don't have to fear anything. You don't have to fear anyone. The Holy Spirit, which is God, can live in you. And if God is in you, who can destroy your life? Nobody can destroy your life. The devil is even afraid of you. He cannot touch you without God's permission. In him we live and move and have our being. So come to Jesus. Understand this beautiful truth. Beautiful truth. Come to Jesus. This is not about Moses reaching out to God. This is about God reaching out to Moses and God reaching out to you. Today I speak to you. It's not about you reaching out to God. It's about God reaching out to you. Respond to his love, reaching out to you. Respond to that love. Understand this. God is with you. God is for you. And God is in you. You don't have to be afraid. You know, I would say that these 2 weeks was quite an exciting time for my life. Because I begin to see that I couldn't see many things, to be honest. But then I begin to see a lot of things. I begin to see that God is with me, which is the most important. I begin to see that God is for me, which is equally important. And I begin to see that God is in me. How about you? How about you? How about you? See, Pastor,
my sin is very great. Well, you say, Pastor, you do not know there's a big problem. I have a hard time serving God. There's really a big problem. Well, God is bigger than your problem. God is bigger than the problem. Shall we all stand? Musician, please come and assist me.